last night. It happened once again. Shots rang out on the town, seemed to have no end.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and we have a special couple of guests in the studio with us today. 30 years ago, the Lori Dan shooting rocked a village, and we have someone who is a victim of Lori Dan, Phil Andrew, in the studio with us. Phil, how are you today?
Good. It's good to be with you on this rainy day.
It is pretty ugly and rainy. You're director of violence prevention initiatives for the Archdiocese of Chicago. So you went from Lori Dan victim. Then, as I watched your piece on WGN TV News, you went to the FBI. And now, starting in February of this year, you were appointed to a position by Cardinal Blaise Cupich, which is where you are right now.
That's right.
All right. You've turned it around. A victim of the Lori Dan shooting. People have really been revisiting it, obviously, with this 30th anniversary. And I feel funny saying anniversary, but that's what it is. She had started at a school, ended up in your house.
That's right. It was there was a lot that actually happened that day. And honestly, many weeks of preparation on her part in getting ready to attack the community. But if you'll recall, she sent poisons throughout the North Shore. She set a fire to a home and tried to ignite what we would call today a weapon of mass destruction, a cyanide gas device up in the a school up in Highland Park. And it culminated with her going to a second grade classroom and basically opening fire on children at point-blank range.
This was unheard of when this happened. I mean, you couldn't even imagine someone walking into a school and shooting innocent victims. And look what's happening now. I mean, 30 years ago, you heard of it once in a blue moon, and now it's they're statistically saying, is it every week or something that there's a shooting at a school?
Yeah, well, it was a real grim foreshadowing of what was to come. There were a lot of lessons to learn from that day, and I think that in many ways we did try to learn some of the lessons from the standpoint of trauma response and even emergency response, some police tactics, all of those things we were very careful to learn from. The things that we didn't really take seriously and have are paying the price for is not doing what we need to do as a nation to restrict access of dangerous weapons to dangerous people.
You've brought a student with you. Why don't you introduce your student?
This is Audrey Wright, and she's a student here in Chicago, and she's got her own vantage point on this. And one of the things that I've endeavored to do is the 30 years that have taken place since then, a lot of gun violence. The communities that suffer the most gun violence are urban. But I think it's important for us to really draw the connection that that these are not really distinct problems. They all have to do with access to firearms. They all have to do with people that are suffering from trauma. And in some places, folks are getting good services, and in other places, they're not. And there's a real deficit. You know, we really have two different cities. And I couldn't let this go on without drawing that connection. When we talk about school shootings, as tragic as they are, they're less than 1% of the gun violence that we see in the country. And of those 1%, 2/3 of those people that commit that violence, we know, and they get their guns from home. So in many ways, that's such a simple problem to solve. But urban gun violence, we also know who those folks are, and they all are also getting their guns in the community. And the destruction that it causes is just tearing up families and communities and schools. And we've got to talk about those communities, too, if we want to solve this problem.
Audrey, we're going to get to you in a second. But, Phil, I'm just curious. You just said something that I think every time we talk about guns and mental illness and combine those two, it's a problem that should be easy to solve, and yet it's the exact opposite. It should be so easy to solve. It's not easy to solve. Why is it so difficult?
Well, this really comes down to one thing. It comes down to money. And sadly, we got a lot of things in our country that are just motivated economically. If you pull this among gun owners, even NRA members, they want background checks. They want people, the law enforcement, to have the ability to take a gun away from a dangerous person. They think that they're, you talk to hunters. Hunters don't use these kind of weapons. You know, so there's a lot that we agree on. The only folks that don't are the industry that makes these guns and makes a lot of money selling them, and they're puppets that just sell fear to try to keep that industry propped up and making money while communities suffer and families suffer.
And you mentioned mental illness. It's a combination of things. It's mental illness needs to be addressed. Guns need to be addressed. But there are mental illness in other countries as well, and they're not having shootings like we are here in the United States.
Yeah, you could just go Google a couple of graphics, and you can see how we are just exponentially. We've just got so many more guns and access to guns, and that's the difference. Everybody else is watching the same movies. Everybody else is playing the same video games. They've got the same level of mental health diagnoses.
Yep.
There's a stigma attached with accessing mental health here in the U.S. that we've got to work through.
We're starting to.
We are. And I think this is a part of it, you know.
I thought the most telling moment, Phil, of the whole gun debate was a couple months ago when they had the town hall meeting and the kids from the Florida school had Marco Rubio up on stage with them, and they challenged him to say the simple words, "I'm not going to take any more money from the NRA," and he danced around it and wouldn't say those words. And all he needed to do was say, "I agree, this has gotten out of hand, I refuse to take any more contributions," and he wouldn't do it, couldn't do it.
That's the simple part. And that's, you know, one of the great things that Audrey and her friends with the groups that she's affiliated with, and the student movement, which I hope you'll talk about, they are courageously leading the way.
Audrey, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to focus on what you'd like to speak about. Phil Andrew is with us, Director of Violence Prevention Initiatives for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Audrey Wright is with us as well. Phil, just before we go to break, I do want to mention that how many times were you shot by Lori Dann, who did enter your house? You were shot, and she proceeded to go to an upstairs bedroom and committed suicide there. Where were you shot?
I was shot in the right side of my chest. The bullet passed through both my lungs, my esophagus, grazed my pericardium, hit my pancreas, my stomach, and it got lodged in my left lat. That's one round at close range, and that's the level of destruction that it caused. Now, I had no idea that that's the destruction it caused at the time, but the lethality of weapons and the capacity of the weapons used has only grown exponentially since then.
I'm so glad you're with us to continue your service now to help solve this problem. I'm sorry to hear that. Phil Andrew, Director of Violence Prevention Initiatives for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Audrey Wright. Audrey, where do you go to school?
North Lawndale College Prep.
All right. We will come back and speak to you because this is definitely a problem in this country. We're not going to solve it today, but we can certainly talk about it. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. And a couple of special guests in the studio with us today. Phil Andrew went from being a victim of Lori Dann, then on to a crisis negotiator with the FBI, and now currently Director of Violence Prevention Initiatives for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Cardinal Blaise Supich appointed him that position in February of this year. And Phil brought Audrey Wright with him. Audrey, you're a junior at North Lawndale College Prep, correct?
Yes.
We have talked about school shootings before, wondering if students are afraid to go to school thinking about this. And what are your thoughts? Are you afraid to go to school?
I won't necessarily say I'm afraid to go to school because I know at North Lawndale we have a student support system called Peace Warriors where we help not only attack violence in our school but as well as out of our school. So when we see a student come in who looks like they're having a rough day, we'll take them somewhere to talk to them. If they don't want to talk, we just leave them, make sure they can, you know, get themselves together, and then maybe later on that week or that day, they'll come back to us and let us know, like, what's going on, what's bothering them, and we'll be there to help them through emotional support. So, I mean, a lot of kids come to school as a safe place. You know, school
should... That's their escape.
Yeah, that's their escape, and to know that, to hear that a lot of schools are being shot up and a lot of kids are dying, that kind of brings a lot of anxiety. But being a peace warrior, we kind of have like a sixth sense, so we know what to do in those type of situations. We know how to talk to those kids when they're feeling some type of way about like what's going on, and we basically are there to let them know that you have support in and out of school. It's not, this is not just a school thing. Peace warriors help in and out of school.
And Audrey, just to be clear, these conflicts are resolved by students, by the peers, yes, not by faculty or guidance, yes, counselors.
It's, yeah, easier to talk to another kid than
an adult.
Yeah.
A lot of kids rather come to peace warriors than go to the counselors. We have two counselors at our school, one counselor per two grades. I mean, their office is always full. Yeah, it's not enough. So we kind of wear that extra cap that says counselor to help take some load off of the counselor's hand, and the kids come find a peace warrior and talk to us about whatever it is that's troubling their mind, their heart, whatever, yeah, it is.
A lot of things have been talked about in the news that perhaps schools should be more secure. There should be less entrances. There should be metal detectors. I don't know if that's the answer. You have metal detectors at your school?
Yes.
How does that make you feel going into school? Do you feel safer with them?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, yes, to know that just in case someone does bring a gun into the school, they can stop them right at the entrance. But no, because it kind of brings the fact that it kind of makes us feel like criminals when we're not. I mean, going into school, you should go into school knowing that you're here to get an education, not to get a background check. So those type of things that you incorporate in school to make us feel type of safe, school should be safe right when you walk into the doors. You should need metal detectors to know that your environment of school is not, it's not safe, you know. So those metal detectors kind of bring a negative connotation to the word school. So
I never thought of it that way, I have to be honest with you, and I'm glad to hear that coming from you. What about the area around your school? Do you feel safe in that area?
To be honest, no. I take the bus to school sometimes. After school, I get dropped off before school. And like after school, we do see a lot of gang activity going on. We do hear a lot of gunshots during school. We do hear a lot of police flying down the street, a lot of ambulances happening during passing period or during class. And that kind of disturbs the learning environment to know that something is always going, and it's every day. We hear police flying down the street. We hear ambulances. We hear a lot of those sirens going off, and it kind of disrupts the learning environment. And then when we get out of school, to know that something that happened earlier can probably still be happening when we get out of school. And a lot of the kids, they rather stay after school to know that they're like, it's a particular time that they know that they should go home, but they can't because it's a learning environment. Yeah. So they kind of tell us, oh, you have to get off school properly. We won't try to go home because something can happen. So
how tragic is this, Audrey and Phil? The other day, Friday, we saw another school shooting, this one in Texas. And they asked some of the kids how surprised they were by this. And they said, you know, we weren't that surprised. This didn't really shock us. It's come to that, where somebody can move through your school with a gun and shoot at people, and the kids aren't that surprised. On top of all the other tragedies, that's a tragedy in and of itself.
Well, I feel like, yeah, you should feel that type of way. Coming from a kid's perspective, you should feel that way to know that stuff like this has been going on for so long, and a lot of kids don't really understand what's really going on as far as how these kids are getting a hold of guns.
Yeah.
And to know that is like, well, me personally doing research, I found out that it's money over lives. So to know that people are actually out there purchasing guns just to have one, but then you give your child a gun and they go to school and they shoot up the school, like, what's right. The purpose behind it?
Yeah.
So. And we have school shootings and we have shootings in the urban communities. What do we do? I'm asking both of you. We have a student at high school, Audrey Wright, and Phil Andrew. What do we do to stop this?
Well, you know, I would go back to what Audrey says is what peace workers is doing, or peace warriors is doing. You know what? They're there and they're listening. And, you know, sometimes when you got a big problem, you gotta slow down and you gotta listen to people, and you gotta listen to people that are most affected. And right now in this country, we've got students who are afraid, and we are not listening to them. They've been saying this for a long time, and I know that we need to keep order in schools, and usually we're telling people to, you know, tuck their shirt in and get in line. But this is a time to listen to kids, and kids are afraid, and we've got to understand what they're afraid of. And if we don't bridge that gap to start listening to kids and understand that, well, one, we're, we're not going to do what needs to be done, which is to protect them. And our number one goal has to be making sure that kids are safe from gun violence. And that's going to require us to do some stuff, tough things, and take on the lobby. But the other thing is to listen to them about the things that they know are solutions. They want adults and students in the building that are caring for them. So peace warriors is sort of like necessity is the mother of invention. They came to do this because they know they needed to survive. And I think that solution is part of this, but that kids need to be listened to. Our policymakers need to listen to them and start doing what they say they need to feel safe. And it has something to do with this restorative justice model that they've implemented at North Lawndale Prep. We know that restorative justice and peer-to-peer empathy-based training works. The evidence is already there. And we also know that background checks and many of the other gun policy proposals that are up right now, we know that they work.
I know we're out of time. I just want to ask you really quickly. It's been suggested, most notably by the students from Parkland, that it's time for us to stop reporting the names of the shooters, that's aggravating the situation. What are your thoughts on that?
I think we should expose them.
Yeah.
But the people need to know who is the cause behind the effect. You know, trying to brush it under the rug, y'all been doing that for so many years and it haven't gotten us anywhere. You know, so not saying their name is basically you're kind of taking up for them. You know, they need to be exposed. They need to know that this is what you did and you have to take the fault for it.
Yeah. It breaks my heart as we...
Yeah, I agree. I think it's more important that we talk about the victims.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you try to find out what brought them to this point. You can't learn if you're hiding it, if you're not looking into it. It breaks my heart that we as adults are letting you kids down, because really, we can't solve this problem. They're telling us what to do, and no one's doing anything. So what is our next step? What do we do?
Part of being peace warriors, we like to attack the internal violence before it gets to the external violence. So we talk to them about, well, why was you feeling some type of way? What was the main cause? Because there's always a root to the cause, you know, and a lot of people fail to realize that no one wakes up one day and decides, oh, I'm going to shoot up a school without having the actual reason, you know, and people fail to realize, they just say, oh, you shot up the school just because. But as peace warriors, we don't attack the person, we attack the force that causes that. So we more so focus on the internal violence before the external violence.
You are an amazing human being. Do you know that?
Thank you.
You really are. Her name is Audrey Wright. I'm sure we'll see her running a city or country someday, because you're really great at this. She has Peace Warriors going on at North Lawndale College Prep. Is there a place we can send people to find out about Peace Warriors? Is there some way that other kids at other schools can start something similar?
We've actually had partnerships around the city of Chicago with different high schools and middle schools. We have a summer program that's getting ready to start up next month, where we actually will be sending peace warriors around the city of Chicago to train different groups, train different high schools. But I mean, if someone wants to find more about peace warriors, they can come to our school. That's where the action happens at. So they can talk to me, or they could talk to Mr. Gerald Smith.
No website though, Audrey?
No, we don't have one. Okay.
But Audrey and her team are very involved in March for Our Lives and the larger organizing group. So if anybody reaches out to March for Our Lives in Chicago, they will eventually connect with Audrey and many folks like
her. We have a connection with March for Our Lives, Chicago, Brave, St. Sabina. We have a lot of...
Good.
Yeah.
Great.
And Phil, I know we had you on today because of the Lori Dan shooting, but please come and visit us when we have more time and we can discuss this again. We'd really love that to happen.
I look forward to it.
Thank you so much. Good luck to you, Audrey. Audrey Wright from North Lawndale College Prep, and Phil Andrew, Director of Violence Prevention Initiatives for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Thank you so much, and good luck in your fight.
Thank you.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN.